Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Carlsbad to Camden, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. It is a Target Demo Friday. We will release the Kraken. We will hear from where you are and how you're listening and what your football food of the week is going to be this weekend, as per usual. But before we get to all of that, the song and dance that is a Friday during football season. Coming up this hour, Soundcheck in 20, and your tasty top five college football games of the weekend in 40. Next hour, your football food of the week featuring Cyborg Mraz via FatGPT. Also, in hour number three, Mike Lombardi, former NFL executive, now the host of the GM Shuffle Pod. And in hour four, is the Wizard of Oz, the Wizard of Oz, coming off a perfecto. You see that zero in the record? Oh, yeah. That means the Wizard is on a perfect plane right now after week number one. 0-4. 0-4. So, had you faded the Wizard last week, you would have made buku bucks. I advise you to do it again this week. If the Wizard of Oz, coming up in hour number four. Lots to get to. We begin last night, Thursday night football in Philadelphia, where the Eagles and Vikings went at it. It was the easiest thing to see from miles away. A Vikings team that played like garbage in week number one against the Buccaneers, along with a Kirk Cousins-led team in a primetime standalone game, losing on the road to a better team. That's exactly what happened. But lo and behold, the Vikings actually made this a game late, could not close the door, committed a bunch of turnovers early, lost the turnover battle by a great margin, and ultimately falls 34-28. Which means the Eagles are 2-0, the Vikings are 0-2. But nobody could look at Philadelphia as one of the Super Bowl favorites across the entire NFL and say they have played like a Super Bowl team. They might be 2-0, but they have not played like the 2022 Philadelphia Eagles. Will they return to Super Bowl-caliber football, or is this going to be a season-long hangover in Philadelphia? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Third down and four. Into the gun is Hurts. Hurts is back. Hurts looks. Still looking. He is going deep for Smith, who has it. 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Devontae Smith, the bomb!
I think everybody wants to make plays and everybody wants to contribute. I have no worry about him, you know, and he's a great player, great teammate, great friend, and we'll all do anything and everything with winning in mind.
I do know this about this team. They genuinely like being around each other, and they genuinely, you know, one of their greatest motivation is not wanting to let each other down. And so, you know, they want to make plays for each other. They want to do the right thing for each other. And I got no doubt that, you know, we'll be in a good spot tomorrow moving forward.
Hurts calling for the ball. He gives it to Swift. Swift cuts back. He's in. Touchdown. The ugly Swift.
Look at that shake. He's got such an amazing shake. He starts to the left, gives that little shake. He gets the defense going that direction. That little shake puts his foot in the ground north-south and into the end zone.
It was pretty good. Yeah, he just showed a vision, explosiveness. You know, I thought the offensive line did a phenomenal job of pushing them off the ball right there. And so was really just really pleased that he protected the ball.
Back goes Cousins. He's looking. He steps forward. There are no seconds on the clock. As he throws a pop-up downfield, it's batted around. It's incomplete. The clock runs out, and the Eagles survive again.
I'm putting a lot of blame on myself. Of course, you know, being the captain of the team, I have to know the situation, take care of the ball. And, you know, I was telling my teammates, you know, that was on me, and it won't happen again.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Maurice and Mike Quick on Eagles Radio. You heard Jalen Hurts talking about A.J. Brown and his frustration, Nick Sirianni as well, and Justin Jefferson, who lost a fumble out the back of the end zone. Originally looked like maybe it was out of bounds before it crossed the pylon. Ended up coming back the other way for the Eagles. That's a crucial swing of points there. And looking at last night, the Eagles did not play their best football and walk away with another dub. And in week one in New England, did not play their best football and walked away with a dub. Sensing a pattern here. I think you will see this a bunch of times this season, certainly early. Super Bowl hangovers are real. The Philadelphia Eagles losing a Super Bowl historically tells you that they will not get back there. And I weighed that before the season when I decided who I thought was getting to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And certainly we could get to an NFC championship game, NFC divisional round, Eagles and Niners. Niners could beat them. Boom, you've got San Francisco in the Super Bowl. Instead, I took the Eagles, and this is why. There was a drive last night that was kind of a must-have drive for Philadelphia. They were trailing 7-3 early in the second quarter, and they had gotten a bunch of fumbles from the Vikings, who were very sloppy last night. They could only convert that into the one field goal. They stalled on one of the other drives. They missed that other field goal. And so they were trying to get traction, and the offense was going nowhere. Early boos coming down from the crowd, which is just amazing. I mean, to me, you're 12 minutes into your first home game, having come off of a Super Bowl appearance. You won week one, and you're getting booed at home. 12 minutes into your first home game, being booed. God love Philly. God love football season being back. I got such a good chuckle out of that. But there was a drive there where they took over on their own 25-yard line, and this was what the Eagles did. First and 10, DeAndre Swift for 7. Second and 3, Swift for 3, first down. First down, Swift for a yard. Second and 9, Swift for 6. Third and 3, Swift for 4, first down. Now you're near midfield. First and 10, Swift for 3. Second and 7, Boston Scott for 6. Third and short, Boston Scott for the first down. Now you're across midfield. First and 10, Jalen Hurts goes out of bounds after 8. Second and 2, Boston Scott picks up the first down. First and 10 from the Minnesota 28. Hurts throws incomplete. Second down, hits A.J. Brown for 11. Move the chains. First and 10, Vikings 17-yard line. Swift for 7. Second down, Swift for 5. Now you're first and goal from the 5, and you punch it in on second down. Jalen Hurts goes up the middle, touchdown. It was a we know we're good enough to just put the hand in the dirt, move you out of the way, and pound you into submission for a touchdown. And that, to me, was the moment that I took away from last night and said, that's still the same team that went to the Super Bowl last year. They've got all the best talent on the field. That roster is ridiculous. They've just got to figure out how they're going to beat you and play cleaner football. They're still great. One of the best offensive lines in football. They racked up 209 rushing yards last night. DeAndre Swift had a 175. And on the outside, they hit the big play to Devontae Smith for the touchdown. But they've got maybe the best wide receiver tandem in the NFC. Maybe one of the best wide receiver tandems outside of Miami. I mean, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, either one's going to kill you on any given play. Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate finalist last year. Hasn't played like it yet this year. But I have a feeling he's going to figure it out. Good secondary. They were banged up last night. That team, top to bottom, one of the best defensive lines in football. It's like, find a weakness. And their corners were out last night. Find a weakness. They're going to be fine. And the fact that they can walk out of the first 2 weeks of the season having not played their best football at 2-0 tells me they're just going to kind of be like the Patriots used to be. Remember, the Patriots knew at the end of the season they were going to win the division and go to the playoffs and probably go to an AFC championship game. So Bill used the first month as experiment. Will this work? We'll do this. And they never looked great and crisp and smooth. They just tinkered with things in the first month. And I think the Eagles will do the same thing. Sirianni's not Belichick. Hurts isn't Tom Brady. But this Eagles team has more talent than most of those Patriots teams did. I mean, again, find the weakness on the team. They're going to be fine. They have to guard against sloppy football and messing around with an opponent. And I think the Super Bowl hangover, too. And they messed around with two opponents, and they had to kind of like hold on for dear life at the end. But I'm not really worried. I'm not, because that was a 20-point game at one point last night. It did not need to end up with a 6-point win. It was 27-7 midway through the third quarter. That didn't need to be a close game last night. And if you're like me and laid the 6.5 last night with the Eagles, you're a loser! That hook is going to kill you. That's my new slogan. We're unkillable! And the hook is going to kill you. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. As we're off and running here on a Friday morning edition of The Da, also on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. Travis Kelce rumored to be spending quality time with Taylor Swift. His brother, Jason Kelce, weighs in. Coming up next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide, as well as SiriusXM Channel 158, and on your phone using the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app. Soundcheck begins with the Zach Gelb Show, where former Dolphins linebacker Channing Crowder takes on Dak Prescott and unfulfilled expectations.
I would pull Dak to the side. If I was in the locker room, my honest assessment of Dak is he's never going to win a Super Bowl. He's not good enough. I'm not a fan of Dak. I've been saying it for years. He's going to mess up in the big moments. But if I was a Vander Esch, who plays my position, if I was a D-Law, if I was a Michael Parsons, who's a good friend of mine, I would invite him to a nice dinner. I would sit him down, Zach, and I would tell him, you're the problem of why we're not winning.
Crowder's amazing. I love the idea of a bunch of big, burly, aggressive defensive players inviting Dak Prescott over to their house for a nice dinner and then jumping him, basically. We hate you. You're why we don't win anything. You suck.
Food is family.
I think there's a lot of blame, certainly, at Dak's feet for not elevating the team when it matters most, and that includes the last two playoff losses to the San Francisco 49ers. But let's not act as though the only problem on the Cowboys is Dak Prescott. I think it's a culture thing. I think it's a culture thing where, yes, Dak has come up small in some big spots and your quarterback needs to be better there. At the same time, I don't think you can say that everything else is always airtight around the Cowboys. The culture is that they think and talk Super Bowls before they're worthy of that discussion. They have an owner that unnecessarily puts them in bizarre spots of controversy or distraction or discussion. And nothing will change because Jerry's still the owner.
I love how, you know, you mentioned the they just jump them. Hey, Dak, why don't you come down to the country club we're all part of? Ninth Green, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We'll see you then.
That's right.
By the way, Zach Gelb posted that on social media, got some good play, and somebody actually responded. The Twitter handle is I'm a Dak fan, so you would think it's biased, but there's a video, actually. I think it's at Cowboys training camp. Dak runs out, and lo and behold, Channing Crowder is there, daps him up, gives him a hug, so throwing a little shade, even though he seemed to be a boy of him, a fan of his.
Interesting. Here is Zach Wilson. Guys, did the Jets sign a backup quarterback yet?
No.
No, they apparently wanted to get Brett Rypien away from the Rams because he knows Nate Hackett's system, but the Rams put him on their active roster because of Stetson Bennett going off.
I saw that, but we're at Friday morning of game week, and the Jets don't have a second quarterback?
No, they do. They have the guy that came from Green Bay, Tim Boyle.
Oh, right. Okay.
John so Doyle, whatever.
They've got Boyle.
Cousin
Tim. They have two, not three.
They have Cousin Tim. Okay, so they have a backup. That's right. I forgot they had Tim Boyle.
Yeah, he's the least remembered contingent that came with Rodgers from Green Bay.
Right, right, right. And also the least famous Boyle. There's Pat.
Right.
There's Daddy.
Yeah, there's Boyle Seed.
Bobby Boyle. Yes.
There's Boyle Seed. And then there's Tim, who's bringing up the rear as a backup quarterback.
I would say even the hockey players, Dan Boyle and Brian Boyle, are more famous than Tim Boyle.
You're right.
Yeah, it's true. So here's Zach Wilson, as he is now the starting quarterback on Sunday as the Jets travel to Dallas as 9-point dogs.
One step at a time, one play at a time, and I think it's trusting the guys around me. I think they've shown this past week, you know, how explosive, how dynamic guys are, and relying on this good defense that we have, and I think it's going out there, taking it, like I said, one play at a time, trusting in my footwork, trusting in, you know, what the coach has been talking about, and you know, we'll go from there.
He's going to get shredded on Sunday, just absolutely torn, bit from Bit. It reminds me of those old dolls, maybe from the 80s or something, where their arms were Velcroed and their legs were Velcroed and their head was Velcroed. So, like, it was meant for, I think, like, stress relief. And so you could just tear their limbs and then reattach them. That's going to be what happens to Zach Wilson on Sunday. They're just going to tear his arm off, tear his leg off. He'll be limping around as an amputee. And then they'll just kind of stitch it back together. And then he'll go out there next week. And is this not the most predictable story arc? Jets lose Aaron Rodgers within 5 seconds on Monday night. Season's over. Jets fans panic, collapse. Then talk themselves into Zach Wilson. Zach is our guy. We can win. Great defense. Game manager. Then they go to Dallas, lose by 28 points. Zach throws three picks. And on Monday, I hate Zach Wilson. Season's over. We got to get somebody else. It is so obvious that this bandwagon that has added all these Jets fans over the course of this week, by Monday morning after watching Zach Wilson turn into a puddle in Dallas as Micah Parsons rips him limb from limb, will quickly disband off of that wagon.
And who cares about them? How about me? I've been banging the Zach Wilson drum all this week. Spare me Colt McCoy. Who needs Nick Foles? Let Zach Wilson ride. And then you remember it's Dallas this weekend and the Chiefs in a couple of weekends. Yeah. The Pats in between, so you know Belichick's going to cook up something special.
He'll see ghosts.
Who have you been banging?
So, yeah. The Zach Wilson drum. Drum. It's an expression.
Drum.
Welcome back, okay. Royal.
Yeah, I just, you know, this, you know, a certain radio station and a certain location is doing well because I know how the sauce is made, and I'm still getting angry at all the delusions that I've been hearing about how Zach's going to lead him to the playoffs and... Maybe it's just Jets fans.
Hey, they're going to play in January, bro.
Yeah, maybe it's just Jets fans conjuring up fake, you know, optimism, which I guess you would do as a fan seeing what happened in that Monday night game against the Bills. But, DA, you're right. He sucks. And nothing has changed from last year. And that Cowboys pass rush is going to annihilate him.
When you say you know how the sauce is made, what do you mean?
We are unkillable!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stuff like that to conjure up feelings of... You know, disagreement and to get people all hopped up. Like any rational person would think, okay, the Jets defense was great last year. Sure, they probably have more talent on offense, but still, you can't win in the NFL without a quarterback. And I saw more than enough that I needed to see in that Monday night game to know that Zach Wilson is not a good NFL quarterback still.
But does that mean Josh Allen's not?
He had a terrible game. He also has a track record. He also has a track record that even when he does turn the ball over a lot, the Buffalo Bills are still more than good enough to be a playoff team.
Well, we also have 5 years of Josh Allen of being a pretty good quarterback, and we have no evidence Zach Wilson will ever be a serviceable NFL QB.
But there's a strange amount of people breaking down film telling us that Zach Wilson wasn't as bad as Boyle says he was on Monday.
Who's saying these things?
No one said he was great, but people pointing out that it was not necessarily terrible. The pick early was bad.
He threw a pass straight at Matt Milano. I could have made that same pass.
That was one of his first. I mean, Jalen Hurts made a terrible throw last night. Bad throws happen.
Jalen Hurts also went to a Super Bowl.
Listen, all I'm saying is one bad throw doesn't make a bad night.
Correct. Yes.
But if Jack does a bad update, nobody goes, well, yeah, Bogues once had a bad update. They go, of your updates are bad.
Hold on a second. Hold
great,
on.
Great analogy. Hold on.
Zach Wilson's a better quarterback than Jack is an update anchor.
Wow. That's bold.
Yeah.
That's a hot take.
That's actually the worst criticism anybody's ever levied against. person. True.
No, but the thing is, Bogues, despite, like, I couldn't tell you, it had to have been at least 10 to 12 plays, at least 10, where the pocket starts to crumble a little bit, and instead of staying in there and delivering a pass,
he escapes.
He escapes.
Panics.
He panics.
Yeah, he panics.
And it's literally like college football junkyard ball, where he just scrambles out, hopes somebody gets open, and then either throws it up for grabs or just tries to run and gets basically nothing.
But if you think Colt McCoy would fare better on Sunday against Dallas,
he wouldn't.
He wouldn't.
Yes, he would.
No, he wouldn't. I saw the stat line you presented as if he had done anything spectacular. His last three games had one touchdown pass.
Those are all he's against not... tremendous defenses with the Arizona Cardinals, who stink.
He's doing no better. They're not coming any closer to winning on Sunday with anybody else playing quarterback.
You're high.
I'm not. Wish I was, but I'm not.
Finally.
That'd be cooler.
Finally. Travis Kelce rumored to be connected, spending quality time right now with Taylor Swift. Remember that the Chiefs tight end had tried to talk to Taylor before one of her concerts. She's affectionately known as Tay-Tay to many of her fans. He put his phone number on a bracelet and tried to pass it off to her, but she was not talking to anybody before one of her big shows. She's locked in. She's totally got game face on, but it seemed to work because now, reportedly, they're spending some time together. Here is the Eagles center, Jason Kelce, Travis's brother.
Jason, you talk about family, and I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she's a big fan of a certain pop star, and you have a family member, a brother, I think.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing rumors that there's maybe some stuff. Can you comment on this?
I've seen these rumors. I cannot comment.
No, the damn gossip TV.
What are we doing? It's for my daughter, okay?
What are we doing? Ever since catching Kelce, everybody has been infatuated with Travis's love life. So I don't really know what's going on there. I know Trav is having fun, and we'll see what happens with whoever he ends up with.
Okay, so this is a really good clip. I'm glad we grabbed that. That is from Amazon Prime last night. You might be like, we're bringing that up after a football game. However, that's Tony Gonzalez that asked that question.
Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing to ask a question about who your brother's dating during a post-game interview. However, the Kelce brothers use their podcast to talk about personal stuff, life stuff, dating stuff, and it gets them a lot of notoriety. They parlay that into commercials, endorsements. Their mom is a chunky Campbell soup commercial, all this stuff. It has to be also free range if you get interviewed, that if you use your platform for all that goofiness, sometimes that goofiness you've got to be asked about. So I don't think TG was out of bounds because the Kelces put them out there like that, put themselves out there.
I don't even think that the Kelces that put themselves out there to put that question in play. My guess is that's not how they opened the segment, right? They didn't.
No,
they did A gap, B gap, 259 rushing yards. And then at the end, you throw that in there. You have to. It's too important of a story. It's too cool of a story. And that panel is not there for X's and O's nonstop. They're there to have fun. That's a perfect question. In fact, I'd be disappointed if one of them didn't ask him about it.
I would not have thought they would have asked Jason Kelce. Now, Travis Kelce, if the Chiefs played last night, I think that's I would
oh,
have expected.
See, I actually think that asking Jason's a safer space because he's one person removed. It's a little more intrusive to directly ask Travis about it,
right.
I think.
I love that the question was asked because one way to make the NFL better and more entertaining, add a little bit of reality TV spice to it. And I think that question does that.
And as I said yesterday, I think that Travis Kelce played chess as everybody else was playing checkers. He came off, as Boyle's dad might say, as a beta by putting his phone number on a bracelet and trying to pass it along to Taylor Swift. And she stiffed him, gave him the Heisman. Everybody looks at him as a dork. Like, oh my God, how pathetic. That's so lame. And yet, by doing so, even though he got early stiff-armed, he took the L, it built him some equity. That story became big. He didn't run from it. He talked about it, meaning that it would get out there so that Taylor and her representatives would hear about it. Clearly, that got back to her. She became interested. Oh, maybe I should meet this guy then. And now, it was enough. Like, you just wanted some personal time there. I think if you're playing out of your league, which Taylor Swift is, because I mean she's a global icon and Travis Kelce is from an American domestic standpoint is a star, but he's not anything like Taylor Swift. If you're gonna play out of your league, you've got to do something like this that's gonna catch the attention so that you get the one moment to get one-on-one with that person and try to win them over. And he did so by looking like a loser early, but getting that quality time late to then win her.
You know, I heard you say that yesterday. It's hard for me to think that anybody would have the foresight to go, I'm going to win in the end here no matter what. Either she takes the bracelet on that, not an arrowhead, and things go from there, or the story spreads and one of her friends tells her about me.
Saying.
And then
the strategy.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce didn't go up to Taylor Swift at the ESPYs and try to kick it to her. Yo, you know, I'm Kelce. Check out my ring. What up? You want to go to the club or whatever? Uh-uh. He took sensitive route. Okay. Bracelet, you know, phone number.
Yeah.
And try to, like, get that thing, which is kind of a lame-o move. That's not a machismo. It's not like an alpha type move. But he did that knowing if he's going to get the hook on Taylor Swift, it has to be something sensitive like that. And willing to take the L if it went public, and it did, and he wore it. Like, how many of us would wear being stiffed if you're a celebrity by a woman? A lot of, like, alpha males will not admit that, oh, I could get any girl that I want. He wore it, and it made him look bad early. But he was willing to, and it paid dividends late.
Okay, but you don't think that he was thinking, no matter what, like, I'm going to get the backdoor cover here, whether if she doesn't take the bracelet, she's going to be told about the story, and that's going to get me in that way.
I don't think he could have guaranteed that, but that was a potential positive outcome of this.
Okay.
I've enjoyed how you've broken this down, and I would say this. Ultimately, let's be honest. They're both trying to use each other for a little bit of extra fame and notoriety, right?
But Taylor Swift doesn't need Travis Kelce.
She might not need Travis Kelce, but think about it. How many alpha males listen to Taylor Swift?
Wow, so you think she is leveraging his audience?
She's leveraging the football fan base. Think about how many people see, how many Chiefs fans specifically that maybe not, you know, Taylor Swift seems like she's got a billion fans. Well, maybe she wants a billion more, right? So now you leverage the NFL fan base demographic. You pull in Kelce. You make it think like, yeah, we got a little something going on. Chiefs fans, hey, we got Taylor Swift in our corner. You know what? I didn't like her. Now she's dating our star all-pro tight end. Okay, sure, I'll listen to some Taylor Swift. Boom, couple extra 100,000 fans there. Maybe football fans in general. They're like, oh, okay, she likes football guys. I only thought she liked skinny, you know, British actors or singers. Now I'm going to give her a chance. And meanwhile, Travis Kelce, of course, he pulls in all the fan base from Taylor Swift. He does the friendship bracelet, right? He's, you know, puts on that sensitive side.
It's huge for him.
He wears the L. He pulls in Taylor Swift fans.
There's a billion people that have now heard of Travis Kelce that have never heard of him before.
There you go.
Yeah, I live with two of them. My wife and my daughter didn't know who he was.
Right.
And then
every
8-year-old
girl in America or the world now knows who Travis Kelce is, and they're heartbroken if that's her new boyfriend.
Why would they be? They'll be heartbroken?
Well, that's the thing here. Tony Gonzalez said in this interview or in that question, I need to know for my daughter. I think there's a lot of young girls out there that kind of envision this kind of princess lifestyle that Taylor Swift lives and wants the idea that she's dating other royalty. So when it's One Direction or it's actors like you're talking about, I can see them in rom-coms. And like that's, they don't want her with some big ugly dude. You know, not that he's ugly, but like, you know, just
meathead.
Yeah, they don't want her with a meathead. Like, now I'm not saying that he is, but I think there's a lot of investment emotionally for young women of like, well, who's she dating? And is he good enough? Because her heart's been broken so many times.
Yeah, he's got to, if this is real, he's got to be careful. Because if he messes this up, they're going to come for him. And then she's going to write a song about
That's it. That's right. Who is the tougher audience on social? Is it Swifties on the guy that breaks up with her, of Taylor Swift? Or is it the Jets fans crushing Mraz right now?
Oh.
I think there's more Swifties.
Swifties. The Swifties have numbers.
Right.
The Jets fans on Mraz have vitriol that you cannot match. Anybody against Mraz right now has vitriol.
Right.
And are throwing every insult in the book. One guy by the name of Juan Pierre on Twitter, I've become aware of his tweets at Mraz.
Not the former Marlins speedster.
Are we sure, though?
I'm pretty sure because he said, oh, you live on Bayshore. Speaking of Long Island, he goes, I'll keep an eye out. So now Mraz is getting threats by Juan Pierre.
By Juan Pierre, of all people.
Because he's telling the Jets their season's over.
It couldn't have been Dontrell Willis. It had to be Juan Pierre. Bogues is a kind, sir, and has headlines.
D.A., if only the Vikings stopped doing this.
Cousins is hit. The football is loose. It's picked up by the Eagles. And down to the 5-yard line, it is Fletcher Cox. The ball was loose as he was hit, and Fletcher Cox I've seen him run for a touchdown before, but this time he's 7 yards short.
It's okay, Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. Jalen Hurts scored a few plays later, then a 63-yard strike to Devontae Smith for a 27-7 third-quarter lead, but only a 34-28 win for their Eagles on Thursday Night Football. Many would not go away, thanks in part to four touchdown throws from Kirk Cousins, almost making up for a quartet of fumbles.
Shot ourselves in the foot with the turnovers. Similar story now the first 2 weeks in that case. I'm sure that's been said a lot to you guys now post-game, but it ought to be. And it's difficult to win in this league when you lose the turnover battle by one, let alone by the margin we've lost it by.
Seven lost fumbles so far this season for the Vikings. They are 0-2. Since 1990, only 11.5% of 0-2 teams went on to make the playoffs. The Eagles are 2-0, but had some splaining to do post-game after Hurts and A.J. Brown argued on the sideline at one point. Brown had just four catches. You heard Nick Sirianni in the cold open dismiss the drama post-game. Hurts did the same thing. So yes, maybe Travis Kelce has a new girlfriend. He definitely has that knee injury. The Chiefs tight end has practiced both days this week after missing their opener last week. The Steelers placing D-lineman Cam Hayward on IR following groin surgery. He's reportedly out 8 weeks. And Cowboys receiver Brandon Cooks in some doubt for Sunday with the Jets, thanks to a reported mild MCL sprain. College football last night, number 22 Miami steamrolled Bethune-Cookman 48-7.
I mean, that's the Thursday night game?
On ACC Network. ESPN gave you Memphis holding off Navy 28-24.
Wow.
In their AAC opener.
I mean, now it's really like college football just punts on Thursday night football. Nobody wants to play because nobody watches that compared to the NFL.
The Boston Red Sox have not won the World Series since 2018. They're not going to win it this year. So the 5-year drought will be the longest in team history. Talk about a curse.
Oh, come on.
But this is why Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom was fired yesterday. Here's team president Sam Kennedy.
We all know where we are in the standings. It's a painful reality that fans feel as deeply as we do. Our fans deserve a winning, competitive team that consistently plays postseason baseball.
Yesterday's lunchtime announcement surprised most around baseball. It came before the Sox split 2 with the Yankees, a 5-0 win in the afternoon, an 8-5 loss at night.
Let's just do some quick math here.
Please.
The Red Sox drought was 86 years, the curse of the Bambino, before they won in 2004.
If you say so.
86 years.
No, that's right.
Then they went 04 to 07 and won again. So that was a 3-year drought.
Yes.
Then they went 07 to 2013, 6-year drought.
Yeah.
Then 2013 to 2018, 5-year drought. And now they're in a 5-year drought. So they went 86 years, then 3, 6, 5, 5.
I'm sorry. I only remember the last one in 2018. So my bad on the math. That lead into that clip was wrong about the longest in team history. My fault.
Wait a minute. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I should have done more research.
Team history?
I'm sorry, I've missed a lot this week. I don't know what to tell you, Boyle.
They had an 86-year curse.
When? Were you here for that?
Yes. Well,
whatever.
Not here, physically, alive on planet Earth, correct. I just brushed right past that. I didn't think Bogus makes mistakes. I guess 5 years is longer than 86.
I lived the 5 years. I barely remember the first that 86
one. But they've really
one.
Spread these things out. It's been very nice for Red Sox fans. Very nice.
Sorry to Chaim Bloom, by the way. Still, unfortunately, lost his job. Mm-hmm. The Rays began a 4-game set in Baltimore with a 4-3 win. So they're now a game behind the O's in the AL East. And the Rangers a half game behind the idle Astros in the West, thanks to a 9-2 win in Toronto. That's a 4-game sweep, a 6-game win streak for Texas. The Jays now a game and a half behind the Mariners for the last AL wildcard spot. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back on the show, taste the top 5, your best, tastiest college football game for the weekend. I rank them. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the Tasty Top 5.
Tasty. All right, everybody. Welcome back. The DA show is available to watch every single day on YouTube, on Twitch, and at watchda.com. I'm going to tell you this right now. Guys, If you're wondering what Saturday of the college football season you can afford to miss, this is it. You want to go do something nice with the family tomorrow? Do it. Apple picking, pumpkin picking, Saturday soccer, rec league, football, whatever with the kids. Go out to Dave & Buster's, get some pizza and wings. This is a pretty dreadful college football slate. To even find five tasty games was a struggle. We have not started most of conference play yet, and all of the good early season non-conference matchups have basically already happened. So, I say this with the advice. If you've got a honey-do list, got to clean the garage, got to make sure this, that, or the other thing's done with the lawn before the leaves start falling, do it tomorrow, because there's nothing that you have to watch. We start with number five, the tastiest matchup of the weekend. It's in the Big Ten as Penn State number 7 travels to Champaign, Illinois to take on the Fighting Illini. This is a 14.5-point spread as the Nittany Lions are favored by more than 2 touchdowns. It's a noon Eastern kick on Fox. The only reason that I put this on there is because James Franklin's Nittany Lions have a tendency to lose a bad game, usually in conference. And a Brett Bielema Illinois team is never easy. They're going to try to play physical, slow it down. Sometimes that'll get into the Penn State heads. So watch out for this game maybe being a little bit of a struggle for Penn State. They're much better than Illinois, but it wouldn't surprise me if this is kind of an ugly Big Ten game on the road for the Nittany Lions. So there could be a little bit of drama in this. That's my number 5.
Tasty.
Number 4 is the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Colorado State traveling to Boulder to take on Colorado. That's where game day will be tomorrow, as well as the big noon pregame show on Fox as well. But Colorado's ranked number 18. They're a 24-point favorite. This is a late kick, 10 o'clock Eastern time at ESPN. We all assume that Colorado takes care of business early. If they don't, it'll be embarrassing because now they have a personal vendetta as well after Coach Norvell took a shot at Dion's glasses and hat. We'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show, but I fully expect the Buffaloes to romp, and so there's not going to be much of a game to watch, but because it's Colorado and because of the trash talk, we'll put it at number 4.
I'm tasty.
Number 3 is a sneaky good game because these two schools were Big 12 rivals for a long time before Mizzou left for the SEC. Number 15, Kansas State traveling to Columbia, Missouri to take on the Tigers. That's a noon Eastern kick on SEC Network. K-State is a 4-point favorite in this game. It's got Big 12 history. It's not far away of a drive for K-State fans to travel to go to Como, Columbia, Missouri, great college town. And so there's vestiges of the past. This used to be a really fun rivalry and series. Missouri and Kansas obviously are border states. So it's maybe a 3.5-hour drive between the two or so. So it's a cool old school matchup. Love that they're playing against one another. Maybe not a lot of national juice, but should be a fun game. K-State's well coached. They're on the road at Mizzou. Make that number 3.
Tasty.
Number 2 on paper would have been a really cool non-conference matchup. Number 8, Washington traveling to East Lansing to take on Michigan State. But Mel Tucker now suspended, so they don't have their head coach on the sidelines. And the number is huge. Michigan State is catching 16.5 at home in this game. I also never put a number 2 tastiest game, which is broadcast on Peacock, but that's the case here this weekend. This is a Peacock game, 5 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. Let's see how Michael Penix, a big-time quarterback for Washington, a West Coast team, Pac-12, does going on the road. That's my number 2.
I'm tasty.
And my number 1 tastiest match of the weekend is, again, it's a ranked team against an unranked team, but it's got history. Tennessee, number 16, travels to the Swamp to take on Florida. 7 o'clock Eastern kick on ESPN. This will be the one game that I really need to sit down to watch start to finish, and luckily it happens at night. Tennessee, the 6-point favorite. Last 2 years, Florida's put gobs of yards and points up on Tennessee, but the Vols are a much better team this year, and Billy Napier desperately needs a signature win. So that is my number 1 tastiest game.
Tasty.
Okay, boys, that's how we do it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.